Welcome to the Whole Food Vegan Podcast.
Exciting vegan food, no crap, no agenda.
Helping you enjoy a wonderfully varied, tasty, easy to prepare and nutritious whole food plant-based diet.
Simple tip, easy recipes and helpful hints on how to get more enticing vegan meals into your diet. Usually recorded after a bottle of Merlot on a Friday night.
Welcome to the Whole Food Vegan Podcast. My name is Mark.
And I'm Sue.
And welcome to Series 3.
Whoop, whoop.
I know, this is going to be really good. We have got some fabulous interviews lined up for Series 3 and some real treats for you. So make sure you stick around. Episodes are going to be released weekly in Season 3.
Wow, so, no pressure.
No pressure at all. Mm-hmm. You will receive a new episode every single week. So, what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, it's a subject we've kind of covered in pieces over the last couple of series, but I think it's worth mentioning again. We're going to do a whole episode today on veganizing. So what do we mean by veganizing? We mean how to make a standard recipe vegan. We might be looking at different methods you can use as well as different ingredients.
Yeah, because I think sometimes we end up as a vegan, if we're trying to cook at home, is go out and hunt for vegan recipe books and say, well, show me a vegan recipe and then cook from that. But actually, we've got cookery books that we use at home that are not vegan cookery books. And we look through them and we pick a recipe and think, oh yeah, that looks good. That's got some elements in it that look amazing. Mm. How can we cook this fabulous meal but make it vegan? And that's really what we want to address in this episode.
And I think it's worth mentioning, if you're veganizing something, sometimes you have to add in extra components to make it cover the nutritional range.
Yeah.
So that's why we use high protein or high calcium ingredients. So you might sometimes have to adapt it not only to make it vegan, but also to cover all the spectrum of vitamins and minerals.
And we're going to cover that in three parts. So we're going to look at some ingredients, so common things that you might want to swap out. We're then going to look at meat and replacing meat, so you can use meat recipes. And then we're going to have a look a little bit about some additives. So this is about reading labels. Mm. But before we do that, Sue wants to talk about some cake.
Oh, yeah. I made a cake. Well, actually, I made it twice because the first one was complete disaster. So it was somebody's birthday recently.
It was it? Yeah, it was.
A small birthday, but yeah, we won't mention it. And I made this cake out of a recipe that somebody had given me because they had made this cake and it was absolutely amazing. And it was gluten-free as well as vegan. And I couldn't believe how fantastic it was. So I tried to recreate it, but I couldn't get hold of the crucial ingredient, which was almond flour. Mm. So I used coconut flour and it was completely disastrous. It just came out like a brick, basically. So we just ate the icing and threw it away. But I made it again with the correct ingredients and it was absolutely fantastic. It was really good and it's gluten-free. And it's a recipe from noracooks.com, so an S on the end, noracooks.com. And it's her easy vanilla vegan and gluten-free cake. So I highly recommend that.
Yeah, it was fabulous. Mm. And then we went out for a meal and we had, it was the lounge.
The Vivo Lounge.
Mm. I think it's the lounge chain, isn't it? And
yeah,
each restaurant gets called something different.
Yeah, they had a whole vegan menu.
It was absolutely fabulous. And we had a Lebanese flatbread, almost like a kind of a sort of a pizza thing. Mm. But it was basically a Lebanese flatbread, probably... if you're old like me, the size of a 7-inch record. And it just had a layer of
hummus.
Then it had falafels.
Broken up falafels.
Yep. Then it had some pickled cabbage on it, some peppers, I think.
Yep, roasted red peppers. And pomegranate seeds. Oh, that's amazing.
Some fresh coriander, possibly a drizzle of oil. But it was amazing. Mm. It was really simple. A really easy recipe.
Yep.
And I think anyone that wasn't vegan would enjoy it just as much as any vegan. Mm, so that's a really, really good idea.
Mm, okay. So let's talk a little bit about substituting some ingredients. So one of the first things I'm going to mention is pasta, because it's very easy to get mislaid by pasta when you pick it up in the supermarket. Obviously, sometimes it has egg in it. So it's just differentiating between egg pasta.
So fresh pasta has egg.
Yeah, and dried pasta generally doesn't, but it is worth looking at the label. And again, if you're like us, you just make your own. It's really simple anyway.
Yeah, Yeah. So the next thing we'll have a look at is eggs. And it really depends on how you're going to use the egg. Personally, I think if you want a boiled egg or fried egg, there is no substitute for eggs. I don't think you're really going to get a boiled egg or a fried egg.
Although you can make scrambled egg with tofu.
But scrambled egg, absolutely. You can make scrambled egg with tofu. There should be a recipe on our website for making scrambled egg with tofu. That works really well. But using eggs in a recipe, the trick is to look at the recipe. So I've made a beetroot chocolate brownie, which is a non-vegan recipe, and it uses eggs. Mm-hmm. And you can think, okay, well, the eggs are in there for two reasons. One of them is to bind everything together, and the other reason is to make it light and fluffy. So to veganize something with eggs, we need to usually do two things. One is to put something in to bind, and the way we usually do it is flaxseed. So 1 tablespoon of flaxseed to 2 tablespoons of water. Leave it to soak for 5 minutes and you'll get kind of a thick, gloopy mixture, and that becomes an egg for binding. And then to get the fluffiness, you can use a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. And that, your acid and alkaline, gives you the fizz, and you get the bubbles, the air bubbles coming up, or carbon dioxide bubbles coming up, and that gives you the light and fluffiness. And that's how we substitute eggs in baking cooking recipes.
And if you're using it as a glaze, you can obviously just substitute a milk substitute, or just use water, depending on what it is. Another use of egg whites is often to make meringues or mousses. One of the things we talked about this before, but it's really easy to substitute, is just aquafaba, which is the draining juice off of a tin of chickpeas.
The kind of stuff you'd normally tip away.
Exactly. And it's actually really nutritious as well. So that's really simple. Whips really well. You can make it into meringue. You can make it into chocolate mousse. It's got loads and loads of uses.
When I discovered aquafaba, I can remember thinking, this is just weird, but it really does whip up just like meringue. The only thing I've found is when I've used it in a mousse, you do have to be a little bit more delicate with it, because it does have a tendency to collapse a little bit if you mix it in, say, chocolate or something to make a chocolate mousse. And but it works really well.
Of course, it's got a little bit of flavour of chickpeas, which you don't want in a sweet dish. So it's fine in a savoury dish, but yeah, in a sweet dish, make sure that you flavour it well with chocolate or whatever
sugar.
You're using. Well, yeah, there's that. Okay, so cheese, one of our big things that we often miss as a vegan if you're literally substituting like for like. So, of course, you can go out and buy a whole multitude of different cheeses, and we've talked about this before, but you can actually make your own cheese really easily. It's a lot simpler than people think. So a couple of recipes for cashew nut cheese or almond nut cheese. Soft cheeses generally are easier to make than hard cheeses. You can make parmesan very simply, and we do this a lot with just ground up cashew nuts, a little bit of garlic powder. What's the other thing we put in that? I can't remember.
Nooch.
Oh, yeah, nooch. So nooch is your friend in all situations because it's cheesy flavour.
Mm, yeah, and to make a cashew cheese, we use a Bosch Boys recipe. It's literally soaking the cashews, mincing the cashews up in a whizzer with a little bit of garlic, perhaps some herbs, some lemon juice, and it's incredible. And what they do in there to make it set is they put in, you melt a little bit of coconut oil, mm-hmm. and then that goes hard, and then that makes the cashew cheese set. Mm. But I've also made cheeses with live vegan yogurt. And there are lots of recipes to make cheese with live vegan yogurt. So it's cultured. You get that cultured cheesiness to it because you've got it's live. And it's incredible.
And of course, when you're making your own soft cheese, you can put a lot of additives in it that you would like. So things like chili flakes, or you might want to put some chopped fresh herbs in it. Mm. It's really easy to do that. And you can adapt a recipe to suit what you'd like, really.
Yeah.
Okay, cream. Again, cashews work really well as making a cream. Very simple. You just soak the cashews, add a few different ingredients, whiz it up. So if you can soak cashew nuts overnight, they go really soft. You just whiz it in a blender. Job done. Easy.
Yeah, blitz it. And you might need to thin it down a little bit with some soy milk or something, or water. Mm-hmm. But yeah, cashew cream's good.
And you can make it into sour cream, obviously, by just adding a little lemon juice.
Yep,
so that's really good. Of course, again, there's lots of different creams on the market now. So cashew cream, oat cream, creme fraiche, all sorts of substitutes. But if you want to make it yourself, it's really easy.
Yep. The next thing is a cheese sauce. So quite a lot of recipes have cheese sauces in them. And I believe we might be making a chicken pie tonight with a cheese sauce.
Chicken and cheese?
Yeah, like a cheesy sauce, a white sauce.
Well, yeah, white sauce is different to cheese sauce. But
yeah,
anyway.
I would make it with a cheese sauce. No, I like it. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. It's the first discussion of the day, what we're having for tea tonight. Uh-huh. So to make a cheese sauce or to make a white sauce, there's no reason why you can't make it exactly the same as you would if you were making a non-vegan one. So a non-vegan, you would melt the butter. Vegan, you just melt your
margarine
in. Then you add your flour to make the roux exactly the same as you would normally. And then we would add soy milk instead of regular milk.
And sometimes I use water. It works exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not quite as rich with water, but it works perfectly. And to make it cheesy, we add, as Sue said, the vegan friend Nooch. Mm-hmm. I very often put in a little bit of mustard as well.
Yep,
and you give it a bit of extra flavour.
You can make that, suit your taste again. So you might put a little dash of soy sauce, or you might put a little tiny bit of tomato puree in. I'm really lazy and I just love saving time. So I chuck all the ingredients in for a sauce in the saucepan and just whisk it over high heat until it solidifies. It's a bit lazy, but that works.
Yeah. So a cheese sauce or a white sauce, very easy to make. What about honey?
Well, this is interesting because somebody's brought out a range of vegan honey. You've tried it.
I have.
You really
it's
like
really
it.
Really nice.
And it is a very like-for-like substitute. But I would just use agave syrup or rice syrup, and that works equally well. But we have also made dandelion honey, haven't we?
Yeah,
yeah. And that's really nice too. So you've got a good crop of dandelions in the garden at the moment. Yeah. So. Well, it is no mo may, so we'll let you off. And pastry.
Yeah, so pastry again. Pastry is, rather than use butter, you just use vegan spread. And I, to be honest, I prefer the consistency of pastry made with vegan spread than I do with butter. I just find it a little bit easier to work with, a little bit easier to use.
Yep.
So it's really, really easy. And in fact, a lot of the pastries that you can buy are vegan as well.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
And we're going to talk about looking at additives, because you do have to turn the packet over. Just read the additives and be sure. And we're going to talk about that in a later section.
Okay.
But pastry, very easy.
Yeah, and you can even make phyllo pastry, sweet pastry. It's really simple.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking at meat substitutes. So again, if you're wanting to replace meat with a like-for-like type thing, there is loads and loads that you can do. And yes, when you go to supermarket or health food shop, there are masses of different options as well. But we're focusing really on the whole food side of it and making our own. And just, again, it's actually not as difficult as you think. It just takes a little bit of imagination. And absolutely, get some really good vegan books and look through what they suggest as substitutes as well. So do you want to talk about beef and lamb?
Yeah, so beef and lamb, obviously red meats. As Sue said, you can buy red meat alternative in the shops, but I very often make my own seitan. I use a Gaz Oakley recipe. We've mentioned it before on this website, but look up Gaz Oakley seitan. I also use another one by Lauren Toyota. They're both really easy recipes to make. I usually make it up in bulk. I make a big block of it and then freeze it, and it works really well. And it's seitan, so it's made from pure gluten. So if you're gluten free, you can't use this recipe, but it is about 80% protein. So really, really high protein, and it works absolutely brilliantly as a beef and lamb substitute.
And we've also started using a different type of TVP lately. So you can buy TVP, which is textured vegetable protein, very, very small, tiny little rehydrated, not chunks, but more sort of mince sized portions. You can just reheat that with some liquid, or you can just soak it in stock, or you can add it to a recipe. It basically is flavorless, and it just expands, reabsorbs moisture, and becomes nutritious. You can also buy that ready flavored, so you can buy a savory version of that. But we've now started using the chunks. So the chunks are probably half an inch, couple of centimeters, sort of squarish. Again, it's made from soya vegetable protein. You just rehydrate it, but the beauty of the chunks is it has a slightly chewier texture. So if you're looking for that sort of meat or turkey, chicken style replacement, that's a really good option.
Yeah, and so for chicken, you can also use seitan, and I use another Gaz Oakley recipe. So he does a chicken style seitan as well, and the way he makes that is he mixes the gluten with a tofu. Mm-hmm. So the two are blended together, and it's basically you boil it and it expands as it's boiled, and then it makes this very light, and you can rip it, this chicken substitute. You can rip it, and when it rips, you can then dip it into breadcrumbs and make breaded chicken. You can make things like a Kentucky Fried Chicken with it. It works incredibly well. Or for chicken substitute, you can just use a block of tofu.
Yep.
You do need to make sure you either compress it at home or buy a pre-compressed hard tofu. Otherwise, it does tend to flop apart a bit, and it's not really chicken consistency.
And again, with tofu, there are so many different brands out there. So if you're buying it, just shop around. Don't just try one and go, oh, I don't like it. There are so many different ones. But obviously, as you've said, don't use a silken tofu or a soft one. Use a firm tofu or extra firm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fish. Now, fish is something that a lot of people struggle with swapping over to a vegan diet, because they perhaps have given up red meat and they find that quite easy, but they want to have the texture of fish. Actually, bizarrely, fish is really easy to recreate as a vegan. So there are loads of different recipes out there. But again, you can use tofu because that's unflavored. You can wrap it in nori or seaweed sheets. That gives it a slightly salty, fishy flavor. You can then use banana blossoms, if you like, with a sheet of nori as well. So we've made a deep fried banana blossom fish with nori in it, and you can either use the nori flakes or you can use the whole sheet of it. There's actually a fish and chip shop locally that actually makes vegan fish and chips using banana blossom. So,
and it's got that flakiness, hasn't it?
It has.
That pulls apart, it's flaky, like fish.
Weirdest thing. So banana blossom literally is like someone's taken a sort of raceme of blossom off of a bush, squashed it. It's naturally in a sort of elliptical shape, so fish shaped. And then as you kind of cook it and what have you, it becomes very flaky. It's the weirdest thing.
And you used to only be able to buy it in health food shops, but Morrison sell it now.
I know, it's really popular. And again, I don't know what the nutritional value of it is, but yeah, you can add different things to it to make it more nutritious. But it is weird. And to make it in sort of beer batter and fry it.
I know, it's wonderful.
It looks just like fish. Artichoke hearts are really good for making fish cakes. Very similar texture, in that they are crumbly, flaky. We've got a really good recipe for fish cakes that we use quite frequently.
Yeah.
Again, it's got loads of different salts and things in it. Makes it very fish-like. And if you cover it with breadcrumbs and fry it, perfect.
Yeah, really good. Really good. And one of the things you hear so many people when they come away from eating meat is bacon. They say, oh, I can't live without bacon. Well, bacon, we make it in one of two ways. The simplest and easiest that I do very often, again, is back to a block of hard tofu, slice it thinly, marinate it in liquid smoke that you can get in a lot of supermarkets, smoked paprika, soy sauce, just let it marinate for a bit. If you can let it marinate overnight, even better. And then fry it.
Mm.
You might even want to put in some maple syrup in it, and then you get sort of a bit of a sweeter taste to it. But it's a smoky flavor. And if you fry it for a bit longer, it will go crispy. Depends how you want your bacon. It works fabulously.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good in a sandwich with lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, so to make a BLT, works perfectly.
And a bit of a vegan mayonnaise. Now, that's something we didn't mention about Aquafaba. So vegan mayonnaise is really easy to make. Again, Aquafaba, you just drain that off of the tin, put it in the whizzer with all the ingredients, and believe it or not, it makes perfect mayonnaise.
And oil and soy milk to make mayonnaise works brilliantly as well, with a little sprinkle of lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to make vegan mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's really good. And the other thing about bacon is that we can make bacon up. Let me start that again. Bacon out of coconut. So it is kind of baconut. I think I'm going to call it
that.
Yeah,
bacon.
So coconut shavings, you know what they are. You get them in a health food shop, like the long shards of sort of almost like shaved coconut. It's quite hard. What you do is you make it into bacon bits. This is your speciality. You should talk about
it. I go back to how I make the regular bacon. So I would take those coconut shavings, marinate them in liquid smoke, smoked paprika, soy sauce, perhaps a little bit of maple syrup as well. Marinate it, then spread it all out thinly on a baking sheet and bake it in the oven. And I would just bake it at 180 until it goes crispy.
You might have to just watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just watch it and see how long. I mean, which is how we cook. We don't go like, oh, you've got to bake it for 20 minutes. You cook it until it's done.
Yeah.
So you just open the oven and look. Mm-hmm. And when it's at the consistency you want, you stop baking.
Yeah.
And that, those coconut shavings, I then do them in bulk and store them in an airtight container. And then if you just fancy this sort of bacony, crispy bacon flavour over the top of a salad, it can work. Whatever you want. Mm. You just sprinkle them out and away they go.
Yeah. And again, these are all nutritious whole foods that you can buy in the supermarket or you can go to the health food shop. They're not difficult to find. You know, there's not much now that you can't find in the general shop that you shop in. So yeah, that's good. Mm. Okay, we're just going to talk a little bit about adapting some recipes. So obviously some things are naturally vegan. They just come as a vegan meal, like a salad, you know, or a lot of sort of Chinese food or some things that are really basic that you can make vegan, whether you're intending to or not. Ratatouille, for example. But one of the other things that you can do is you can actually adapt a recipe to make it vegan. One example of this, I was looking yesterday through the Waitrose food magazine, which I picked up in Waitrose. They've got an amazing recipe in there for smashed new potatoes with cheese and garlic oil. Oh my goodness, it looks amazing. They actually use garlic butter. So to make that recipe, you would literally substitute cheese for a vegan cheese. So it would have to be a hard cheese because it melts into it. And the butter you could obviously substitute with vegan margarine. We'll try that perhaps tonight with our pie. It looks amazing.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. So literally boiled potatoes, new potatoes, slightly smashed, put in the oven to crisp up, cover them in a layer of grated cheese, and then cover that in a layer of garlic butter and just bake. Amazing.
And the other thing we could mention is something like a lasagna. So a lasagna typically would have meat in it, would have a white sauce, which is made with butter and milk, and would have pasta. And if you're using fresh pasta, that would have egg. So how can we veganize that? We've already spoken about the white sauce, so that's quite simple. Pasta, as long as you use dried pasta, you're almost guaranteed, it is always worth checking, but almost guaranteed that it's going to be egg-free. But if you wanted to make the pasta at home, it's just the pasta flour and water. Works brilliantly to make pasta. And then the meat sauce, you could either use vegetables or we could go back to this TVP. So you could buy mince in the shop if you want to. It is more expensive that way. We buy it as this textured vegetable protein and soak it. And if you soak it in a really tasty stock cube, perhaps a French onion stock cube or a mushroom flavored stock cube, soak the TVP, it absorbs all that lovely liquid, all the lovely stock, and then you use it exactly like you would a mince.
You just don't have to cook it as long.
Yeah, you don't have to cook it as long. And then you've got a lasagna that looks exactly like a regular lasagna. And I'll be honest, if I make the white sauce and I put in the nooch and I just put a little teaspoon or half a teaspoon of Dijon mustard, I don't bother putting any cheese on top. Because the sauce bubbles up, it goes brown, it browns like you would expect cheese to. You get kind of a slightly crispy surface to it. So actually, I don't put any cheese in my lasagna and it tastes amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it's really easy actually. And the same goes for most recipes. So you can substitute like for like a lot of the time. Things that just spring to mind are syrup sponge, which I know we mentioned a few weeks ago. There's a really good slow cooker recipe for syrup sponge, which I love. And that just uses the cider vinegar and soya milk recipe in there. I will just mention on that substituting milk, sometimes if you're trying to make something which has a particular texture, you have to use soya milk. It does work with other milks, but it's not as good. So my recommendation, if you're cooking a recipe that's involving a cake or a pudding, something like that, soya milk is much thicker and you might find a better result with making it from soya milk.
Or, yes, yeah. Yeah, I think oat milk can work as well. It's nice and thick. Yeah. But things like rice milk
is too thin.
Can be very thin and they don't help, the recipes don't work quite so well.
No. Okay, one last subject we're going to look at today is substituting foods, looking at E numbers and additives. So very often as a vegan, you can eat a lot of things that we call accidentally vegan. So you might pick up a packet of biscuits in the supermarket, say, and you look at it and it hasn't got suitable for vegans on it, but you can't see any milk, you can't see any eggs, you can't see anything that's non-vegan in it. However, it is worth mentioning that you do have to do a little bit of research around some of the additives that are put into foods. things like vitamin D3. So vitamin D mainly comes from sunlight, but you can also get a form of it that comes from sheep's wool lanolin, which sounds disgusting, but I don't want to eat that. And again, it's down to personal preference. You might not have a problem with just eating the odd bit of whatever. You might be flexitarian. It might not worry you, but for someone who is quite a strict vegan, for whatever reason, and we're not going to get into that, it's worth looking at the packets and working out what some of these additives are. Mm-hmm. Again, some of the things have substitutes that are vegan, so you can get vitamin D3, which is vegan. It's made from algae or mosses and things like that. You can also find lactose. Now, that's a very common ingredient, and that is made from milk, so that's a milk substitute, and that might be called E920, so you don't always know what the thing is from looking at the packet.
L-cysteine or L-cysteine is another one which is often used in bread. So things like tortillas. Mm. If you turn tortillas over, you'll very often find the last recipe listed is L-cysteine.
Or the last ingredient.
The last ingredient, L-cysteine. It's normally now is vegan, but might not be, because classically it's made from human hair. Another one of those things you think, really? But yes, it is. Or it used to be. It can be synthesized, and most of the time it is synthesized. But what we tend to do is, rather than spend hours investigating and researching this particular tortilla, we might just say, well, I'll put that one back, have a look at the next one on the shelf, and it hasn't got it in.
Yeah, and it is confusing, because there's times when I've picked up something and looked at it, and the only thing in there that's non-vegan is L-cysteine, and I'm just not going to buy that. But if it's not marked vegan, you don't know. However, knowing now that there are substitutes, it could well be vegan. And I was confused when products you pick up,
but you just don't know,
say vegan, but it's got that in it. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can eat that or not. It might be mislabeled, or it might be, I don't know. You get a bit paranoid, but I don't want to eat that. So I don't buy stuff unless it's marked vegan, if it's got that in. Shellac.
Beetles.
So again, it's one of those things that is a very common word that's bandied about, because a lot of people have shellac nails and they think it's brilliant, but they're made of crushed beetles. So again, if you don't want to eat that, look out for E904. That's what it's known as. But it is basically shellac is crushed beetles. No thanks.
And on the topic of beetles, we've also got E120, which is carmine or cochineal. Which is the red food colouring, again, made from beetle shells.
And I think also, going back to shellac, it can be made from actual shells as well. So, yeah, if you don't have a problem with that, it's fine, but I don't want it on my body. Thank you. Beeswax. Again, you know, a lot of people eat honey and call themselves vegan. That's fine. Just do what suits you. But just be aware, if you don't eat beeswax, E909 is beeswax, and it can also be known as
E901.
Yeah. Again, gelatin is made from crushed up bones, melted down. I don't want to eat that either. That's E441.
And E542 is bone phosphate. Again, I just don't want to eat it if you're vegan. So it is really worth just having just a little bit of knowledge when you are shopping, and it allows you to pick up a packet of biscuits, pick up some bread, pick up something that you think, oh, I wonder if I can eat this, flip it over, read the label, which I think is a good way of shopping anyway, to read the label and see if any of those ingredients are there.
So even, as you say, in bread, it comes from the flour. Sometimes they have these additives in the flour.
They do.
And, yeah, it's pretty grim. And again, you know, we're not here to tell people what to do. And if you have no problem eating that, that's up to you. That's fine. I just don't want to do it myself. And I thought it was worth mentioning. So go on to a reliable source, look up some of these ingredients, or get a really good book that tells you about it, and just make your own decision, really.
Yeah.
Cool. That's about it from us this week.
It is. That is about it from us.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. We're on to the third series.
It is. I know. It's really good. It's really good. So watch out for us next week for the next edition of the Whole Food Vegan Podcast. See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. If you'd like to be featured on the show or to send us any comments, please email behealthy@govegan.online. See you soon.